So I'm going to talk about having a godly imagination. And when I use the word imagination, I'm thinking about like the images that you get in your head, right? And I'm going to share a little bit about my journey this year. And we recently started doing a Bible study with Casey, and it's called Don't Limit God, and it's a book by Andrew Womack. And I had a little bit of a negative attitude when I heard what, because I wasn't there when they did all this, everybody decided, and I wasn't there, and I was like, oh, you know, because I had seen him on the TV and sitting at his table with an accent, and I just had a real horrible judgment against the poor guy. So I was like, oh, you know, and I was so wrong. I was so wrong. He is a man of God, and the revelation that I'm getting from his teaching is changing my life. It's transforming me. And this book that we're doing is just, it's been amazing. The biggest thing, and it hit me on the first chapter, is like Stacy said, God wants to bless you. God wants to heal you. He does not want you sick. He does have plans for good for you and not for evil. He has a future for you and a hope. And it's like he's made, we're his children, we're made in his image. He's broken down the wall of separation, and we've now become a magnet for miracles. Right? It's there. The power of God is towards us and wants to touch every single area of our life. The reason that it's not is because we're doing this, and we're limiting God by some of the ungodly beliefs, by busyness, by ungodly beliefs, by our apathy, by any number of things, by fear, any number of things. And I just, as we began this book, I just began to see that I had a lot of things that were limiting me. But one of the main things was vain imaginations. And, you know, you don't want to admit it, because it's sin. I gotta find where I wrote about this. Ungodly imaginations, they actually make your heart sick. Let me give you an example. I've had some health issues this year, and I just turned 62, and if I was to listen to everything that the TV tells me, and or that, you know what, you know, the commercials tell you, you're on the way out, you know. It's all deterioration from here on out, you know. And I know one of the verses that I always stand on is like Psalm 92 that says, the righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They'll stay fresh and green, and they'll still, they'll declare the righteous acts of the Lord, and they will still bear fruit in their old age. And that's me, and that's what's happening with me. But over the last few months, I just got into this downward spiral. I had issues with some nerve pain, and I had to go see a neurologist, and they're telling me that my nerve endings are starting to wilt or something in my brain, you know, like a negative report. And, you know, and you start to meditate on that. And that's what you think about, you know, and ungodly imagination is a breeding ground for fear. And okay, so I've had some other health issues also, and it's like, so the enemy is just saying, ah, you're on the way out, you know, and you, what if you get Alzheimer's? You know, your grandfather had it, and so, you know, and then you start imagining yourself with Alzheimer's, and the kids, you know, and just, it just sows fear into your heart, and it's a road that leads to death. It's awful. It's horrible. But I began to see that these, and they're meditations, aren't they? You know, it's so easy for us somehow to meditate on the negative, but the Lord wants us to have a godly imagination. And he's just been, I guess, opening the eyes of my heart to have a godly imagination about things. Probably should go back to these and see. So I got into this cycle with fear, and you know what? I've come to a place right now where I hate fear. I hate fear, and we need to hate fear and reject it and cast it out, because it's destroying us. And what are we afraid of? You might be afraid of your health. You might be afraid of what's happening with your marriage. You might be afraid of something that's going on with your kids. You might be afraid of what's going on in the country. You might be afraid of what's happening in politics or in the world. You know, but there's plenty of things where the enemy can, where the enemy wants to get in and sow those seeds of fear that and through those ungodly pictures in your head of that, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, you know, which is a lie. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and there's going to be a day when the victory comes. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what's ahead. That's the godly imagination, or that's a godly imagination that I can set before me, and I can reject the other. I can say, no, this is what's happening, because I'm looking to the author of life. And somehow it's like all of a sudden I'm just recognizing this all the time, and I'm dealing with stuff. I'm doing a lot of repenting because I've fallen into it, you know, and I'm repenting. I'm stopping and I'm saying, Lord, look what's in my heart. This is ungodly. It's, I wrote this down. It's hard to find this stuff though. But it's like, okay. James 1:15 said, you know, our lives are kind of conceived in our mind, in a sense. And this is talking about sin. This is talking about the negative road. You know, it says, after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. So it starts in your head with a desire. It gives birth to sin, and then when sin is full grown, it gives birth to death. So these negative meditations, if you like, these ungodly imaginations, these pictures in my head that are just bringing fear, they're actually leading me to death. I'm off that road. I'm like, I don't want to be on that road anymore. That is not the road that he's put me on. That is not the road that I'm walking. The road that I'm walking leads to life, and life everlasting, ever and ever. Life and joy and righteousness and peace. God, don't you long for peace sometimes? You know, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. So, so, you know, there's a lot of things that can cause, you know, ungodly imaginations, like fear of sickness, bad things happening, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of disappointment, fear of death, fear of loss, negative expectations. And sometimes, you know, we base our expectations on what our experience has been. But we shouldn't be basing our theology on our experience. That's putting ourselves in the place of God. We should be getting our theology from the Word of God. What does God say? And standing on it. That's the one thing that we can depend on in this day and age. And I wrote this down too. Whoever controls your imagination controls you. So with all these negative thoughts and everything, who's controlling my imagination? Is it God? No, it's not. It's not. I'm done with it. I'm just done with it. I'm rejecting it. I'm not going to have it anymore. I'm not going to do it. I'm confessing my sin to you. And I want you to hold me accountable, and I want you to help me to stand on the road to life and stand in his word and stand on his, you know, stand in his truth. I'm not made for fear. I'm not a good container for fear. I was made for the presence of God. I know that. I know that. So, the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so he is. And when you've realized, you know, how your thoughts have been, you know, you think, so as a man thinketh, or as a woman thinketh, so she is. You know, that's sobering, very sobering. So what, you know, I've realized is how important it is what goes on in my head. Because you're thinking all the time, you know, but we want to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And I'm starting to do it, and I'm starting to see godly imaginations. And I want to tell you that it's changing my life, and I'm getting revelatory words. I'm getting, I'm just getting revelations of the love of God. It's like the scriptures are just beginning. I'm just on the edge, diving in, you know, but I'm already just beginning to get fresh bread, fresh revelation of who he is and who he is for me, and therefore who he is for you. You know, and who he is for us in this day, because we're called for such a time as this. You know, this is our time to live. We are living. It says that on my journal that I made out at Singletary Lake. I am living. We just lost one of our precious members, a young man who was our worship leader. We just lost him. He drowned in April, just in April. So, you know, our hearts have just been grieving over that loss, but yet rejoicing about where he is, who he is, who he remains. And, you know, I think a lot of us have just felt really spurred on that we're not gonna, you know, the enemy wants to get in and tell you lies about all of that. You know, but we're not going to go for that. And personally, I felt spurred on by the life of Jesse, because the life of Jesse goes on. Yep. Praise God. Praise be to God for that. Jesse's alive, probably listening. Hi. Anyway, so I feel like there's, well, let me tell you, I went up to the mountains last week with a friend of mine just for some quiet time. There was no, you couldn't use your phone, couldn't use the internet, computer, or anything. It was just like in the boonies. And so what we did was we just spent time with the Lord separately, like in the morning. We had the whole morning, and it was Thursday morning, and I just was reading the Word, and I've been really enjoying reading the Passion Translation. But just revelation after revelation, it's like, wow, it's so fresh. It's so fresh, and it's filling me, you know, and it was just amazing. And I just was like just praying and thanking God, and I just went into kind of a weird vision, but I saw myself coming through a birth canal, like being born again, because I was adult, you know, but I was coming down this birth canal, and I just, that verse came to me that you've been born again to a new and living hope. And I felt like I've been born again. Have you ever felt like that? Like just like your son got awakened and you got born again. And then I have a friend who just said that to me two days ago. I said, I know what you mean. I feel the same way. I feel like last week we were singing, I Will Climb This Mountain with my hands wide open. And I just heard in my head, and I was seeing the picture, you know, of me climbing the mountain with my hands wide open. But I just heard in my head, it's the Mount of Transfiguration. It's the Mount of Transformation. And you know where it says, I think it's in Romans, where it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that word is metamorpho, which means, you know, a complete transformation from one thing to another, like a chrysalis to a butterfly, you know. And it's like, and that was the word that God gave me for this year, for 2018, is this is a year for us, for it's a year of transformation, a year of transfiguration, just like Jesus went up the mountain. And he was transfigured. You know, we're supposed to be like him. I believe that it's possible that we reach a place of just, not by striving, but just by realizing who we really are, where our faces are just going to look different to the people around us. And people are going to come to us and say, hey, what's the reason for the hope that is in you? And they're going to come to us because we're going to be the happy ones. Because we rejected, that fear is gone. All those things that we have put up to hinder God from blasting us, you know, blessing us, we've pushed away and we've rejected, we've repented of, gone around the circle, and we've come back and we've come just humbly before God and given our lives to him afresh and anew, and we just begin to receive the word, because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that's a rhema that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it's hearing his voice, and pictures, and your imagination is one of the ways, and it's probably the primary way, one of the primary ways that you hear God. And so like a godly imagination would be any imagination that is in line with what the scriptures say. You know, so another attack that I had, you know, earlier this year was, I have a son that's been through a lot in his life and suffered a lot, and part of it was his own doing. But it's really hard when you watch your son go through pain. And I had a nightmare about him, and it wasn't good. And I'm not even going to repeat it, because I don't want to put the picture in your head, right? So you got to be careful about sharing the negative stuff too, because you don't want to put that picture in somebody else's head. But it was negative, and it put fear in my heart. I was fearful for my son, and I realized I didn't have a godly imagination or godly expectations because of what happened in the past. I was expecting negative things in a way to happen again, you know. And sometimes your mind says, oh, you know, it'll probably, you know, happen again, or just you know, because you had such high hopes, and your hope was deferred, and hope deferred makes the heart sick, right? So I have a kind of a sick heart over it. But when Adam and Adrian were here, I talked to them about it because it was a really scary dream. And they were saying, well, it probably just meant a death to a vision. And, you know, death to a vision and stuff. So I received that. But so I asked God for a godly imagination, and then I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw Matt and Ashley, who's they've been married for a year now, and they desperately want children. And I saw, in the dream, I saw them with children. Is that a godly imagination? That's a godly imagination, isn't it? I haven't seen, like, hope. Is the substance? No. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I haven't seen that yet, but I have a picture in my head that, you know, I'm going to see the reality of that picture in the future, and I'm going to hold that up, and I'm going to pray into that. Can I pray into the other expectation for Matt? You know, I could, but it would just keep making me, oh God, please, you know. And it would be just on the negative side. So I have to have like a godly expectation out in front of me so that I can step out in faith and I can pray into that night and I can declare it over them. I talked about an ungodly expectation being like a breeding ground for fear, but a godly expectation is like a breeding ground for faith. In 1 Peter 1:13, it tells us, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, the loins are the reproductive part of the body. So what are the loins of your mind? Something in your mind is going to be reproduced. And it says here, it's the Greek word dianoia, or imagination. In other words, what you focus or meditate on powerfully determines what will develop in your life. So it's very important to have a godly imagination. We had some guests here the other week. I can't remember if it was Patricia and her husband, but they were praying for everybody up front. And so I came up for prayer and somehow they skipped me, you know, and that used to be a real big disappointment for me if I didn't get the speaker praying for me. But I don't feel that way now because I receive from all my brothers and sisters, you know, because I'm receiving from God, you know, through his vessels. But there was somebody in front of me. It was Brenda. Actually, I don't know. Is Brenda here? I don't think she's here. Neil's wife, not Neil's wife, Neil's sister. Anyway, she was right in front of me and she had just got prayer and I just heard, oh, she's supposed to pray for you. And I didn't ask her to pray for me, but she turned around and she started praying for me. And the first thing out of her mouth was, I see wings and feathers. And 2 hours before that, I'd been talking about Jesus longing over Jerusalem, you know, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I've longed to gather you to myself like a mother hen gathers her chicks. And I've been talking about the, you know, God like gathering us under his feathers and everything. So I kind of, my ears perked up when she started out with that. But then she said, and I see your brain. She said, I see like the dendrites or whatever it is, the little tentacles, I call them tentacles. Anyway, she said, and they're smiling. And she didn't know about the report that I'd had from the doctors. And then she said, And I'm also seeing that God is just healing and strengthening your muscles. And I was like, yes, you know. So that was another need that I had. And, but anyway, that gave me, so through her word, I got a godly imagination. So now whenever I think about my brain, I don't confess, you know, the lie that my tentacles are wilting away and I'm on this downward trail. You know, I'm going, oh, they're smiling. They're smiling and you're smiling. You know, they're smiling and they're, because they're happy because God is touching them and God is healing me. And I'm stepping into what God paid for me at the cross. And anyway, it's just, life is just so much more joyful without the fear. But it's important, I guess that's what I want to say, it's important to replace that with a godly imagination. And I think I might have, yeah, well, I stopped by to see Marcia and Phil at the VA hospital this afternoon. And, you know, he's got something going on with his digestive tract and I don't know. Anyway, but he's laying in the bed and he's in pain. He was pretty drugged up when I was there. And I sat and talked with him for a bit. And then I talked to Marcia and then he fell asleep, Marcia, and I just started laying it, just like declaring stuff over him. But it's like we're both on the same page. God is doing something in our midst because we went, oh, God, please heal him. No, God told us to heal the sick, yeah. Right? And he didn't say pray for the sick. So we didn't pray for him. We commanded healing to come to him. And it's different, it's just different. And we both separately just had a godly imagination of him well and his cells like standing up to attention and his, you know, him, I can't remember exactly what the imagination was what Marcia saw. But it was like joy and health and strength and life. You know, and so we put with thanking God for that. Thank you for that, Lord. And that gives me, you know, that gives us a future and a hope. It gives Phil a future. Phil has a future and a hope. And it is not his time. And we're not going to just, you know, I feel like sometimes we've laid down and just taken it. All the stuff, you know, and just taking it and just suffered for righteousness' sake, you know, and or just been apathetic, you know, and we haven't been intentional about pursuing God or about pursuing, you know, a godly imagination which is going to give birth to faith. My husband was here. He would say, delete the arms. He's not. So, I wanted to come up when we were having communion because I was so, it was so beautiful when I came in, and we haven't had communion for a long time, and so it was really good to share together in communion tonight. But I've been thinking about it this week, and God brought back a memory of another vision that I had. And in this vision, Jesus was in Israel, and Jesus just came bounding down this hill, and he's, can you hold this? He comes bounding down the hill, and I'm at the bottom of the hill, and he's smiling, and he's joyful. And he pulls out of himself like this loaf of beautiful, fresh bread. And he's smiling and he says, I am the bread of life. Here, take and eat of me, you know. He broke it and he handed it to me, but it was his joy to give that to me. And I just, as I received it, it just went right into me. And as I was reminded of that vision, a different verse came to me, and that was the one that says, unless you eat my body and drink my blood, that you will not have eternal life. But I thought about that, just eating that bread, eating like who he is, like taking it in. And what happens when you eat bread, you know, it gets broken down and it becomes part of you. Right? And the same when you drink, it becomes part of you, and the nutrients, you know, fill, you know, strengthen your body. And it's a godly imagination from the scripture. So that's another way that we can have a godly imagination, is when we read the scripture, just, that just came to me, but like, when you read the scriptures, don't be afraid to see yourself in the story, or to, you know, just to think about the story, think about if you were there, or, you know, just be open to God, because he wants to interact with us, I believe, in his word. And then communion just becomes a living thing. Like, it's like I know what he's done for me, and I know, you know, that I'm his, and the scriptures, you know, that Stacy's reading tonight, I know them in my heart now. And that's the thing about the imagination and pictures, is that's the language of the heart. And it's interesting that Jesus used, you know, Jesus was, he spoke with an Eastern language, you know, Hebrew, Aramaic, and that's a very pictorial language. And he spoke in pictures, you know. I mean, all of the stories, you know, they conjure up, you know, pictures, and you can imagine them. And so that's, you know, so God can bring revelation to you, and he wants to, and he's going to. If you're open for it, he's going to bring you revelation. He's going to take you from strength to strength, from faith to faith, from glory to glory. And he's going to, you know, put these seeds in you that are like seeds of faith that are gonna give birth to life in our lives. And so, yes, I'm going to. Mm-hmm. I have a plan. I want us to pray into this. Let's see if there's anything. Oh yeah, one more thing. I have a friend, and I'm gonna call her Vicky. She's not, doesn't belong to this church, but she's suffering right now with severe depression, and it is not able to function right now very well. And it's very, I realized, you know, after all this, that, you know, like when, as friends, we would get together, it's like, oh, we were so upset about, you know, what's going on with her, and so concerned for her, and oh God, please, you know, deliver, and all of that. And our hearts were good, but it was kind of like, you know, just settling for it, and just settling on the negative. And so I asked God for would you pray for, what did I call her? Vicky. How would you pray for Vicky? And he gave, well, actually through the word again, He gave me a picture because it's Psalm 13. It's the title of it is Prayer Turns Depression into Delight. And there were some pictures in there that I'm holding on to, and I'm holding above her, and I'm going to be driving by her house. She won't even know it, and declaring these things, but that the Lord will bring light to your eyes in your pitch black darkness, you know, and you will not sleep the sleep of death. The kindness of the Lord is right there for you, and he's answering you. You will yet celebrate with passion and joy, and seeing, you know, just seeing her dancing, you know, before the Lord, and just seeing her rejoicing in the Lord, and just seeing her up and well and restored, you know, and singing, I will sing my song of joy to you, the Most High, for in all of this you have strengthened my soul. Lord, you're strengthening Vicky's soul. You know, she and Vicky, you're going to sing a song of joy before the Lord, you know, and just declaring that stuff. And just changing the atmosphere even just over her house as you know, not just going and praying this little prayer, but you're realizing the authority that you have, because we're in Christ, we're seated with him in the heavenly realms. And when I drive by her house, I have the authority as her friend to release the kingdom armor to her over their household. You know, and a godly imagination is just so important, vital for life. And it's vital for, you know, us as we, who do you want praying for you? You know, oh God, please help, you know, I mean, or do you want somebody who says, I see you well, you know, I see you walking into the church, jumping and leaping and praising God. You know, who's going to have, are we going to have a vision for each other? And are we going to have a vision for the future? Yeah. Okay. And so, one more thing. And that is, I guess, one more, it's just a challenge. What is your godly imagination for your marriage? You know, are you just like kind of feeling hopeless? You know, or, you know, God has a godly, there's a godly picture of how your marriage is going to be. And he wants to give you a picture of what it is going to be. I believe that. For your family, he wants to give you a godly imagination. For your children, for your life purpose, for your health, for this country, there's a godly imagination, there's a godly picture he wants to put in your head. Now, this is an exciting time for the church, because as we're being transformed, you know, we're going to be the ones with the hope. Yeah. We're going to be the ones with the words of life. Yeah. People are going to say, where else can I go? You have the words of life. Who's going to have the words of life? That's a challenge to us. We have the words of life to give to each other. And, you know, in all of these things, there's room for a godly imagination in all of these areas. And one final thing, what do you see for our church in the future? And I just want to say this because, you know, lately, we actually have a good crowd here tonight, and it's great. But lately, we've had a meager few. And part of it is because we're in the middle of the summer. But if we were to just go, if we were just going by what our eyes see, we could get a little down in the dumps. But we don't go by what our eyes see. We go by the vision that God's given us. And that is to see Fayetteville come into her destiny, to see salvation come to Fayetteville, to see a revelation of the Father heart of God come to his people, to see the lame walk and the blind see and the deaf hear and the dead raised, to see the manifestation of Jesus in Fayetteville. You know, that is something. You know, where's the testimony? We have to have a godly imagination, take steps of faith, even if they're baby steps, but step towards that positive goal, and and do this corporately together, encouraging one another all the more as time goes on. You know, we're not to give up. And we don't see as man sees, we see as God sees, and we look at the heart of Fayetteville, and we see, you know, the Father just wanting to just pour his oil over this city and heal hearts and set the captives free, and all of Isaiah 61, isn't it? Proclaim liberty to the captives and healing to the brokenhearted, and I can't say that. Anyway, so my challenge to you is just to, I maybe spoke to you in one or two or three or six areas yourself, and just so my challenge is just, you know, go and ask God for a godly imagination and start sowing into that, and stepping into the water, like stepping into, especially if it's impossible. You know, he'll give you an imagination of something that's impossible, you know, but good. But if you start seeing that and start declaring it and start taking steps towards it, you know, then it's gonna be birthed. And there's going to be fruit. So, pray for your brain. Oh, that's going to take a while. That was bad. Yeah. Oh, God, I just pray. I pray for all of our brains, Lord. God, I just ask you, Lord, just, I pray, Lord, that you would forgive us, God, for vain imaginations that we have, Lord, for every negative thought that is not in line with who you are, not in line with your word, every thought that has birthed death in us, Lord, we repent, and God, we just open our hearts, Lord, that, you know, as we go about our work, that we would just notice the way that we're thinking, Father, and that we just give you permission, Lord, to just correct us, Lord, and just to stop us, please stop us in our tracks when we go down that slippery path, Lord, and God, I pray, Lord, for each one here that your godly imagination would be birthed in us, Lord, that we would see great and mighty things that we know not, Lord, that you've promised us, Lord, and that you would just open our hearts to receive, and just open our hearts to receive, Lord, revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Lord, through your word and through our imagination, Lord, that let it go from our brains, Lord, to our hearts, Lord. Let us carry your word in our hearts, Lord. Let us be lovers of God and lovers of your people here on the earth, Father. And Lord, we just present ourselves to you, Lord, just who we are, just imperfect creatures, Lord, and we just are people, and we just give ourselves to you, Lord, and just say, Lord, use us as your vessels, Lord, of life, your vessels of hope, Lord, your vessels of mercy, Lord, to a hurting world around us, Lord. Use us, Father. We see ourselves, we see for ourselves, Lord, a godly imagination. We see ourselves healing the sick. We see ourselves delivering the oppressed. We see ourselves speaking the love of God to those who are alone, who are lonely, Father. We just see ourselves, Lord, as bringing your love, God, to this city and or to the place where we live. Father, you have chosen us. You've chosen us and you've equipped us and you've qualified us. Lord, we're not qualified by a degree in ministry or anything like that. We're qualified by the blood of Jesus. And you paid the greatest price that was ever paid. You paid to purchase us, Lord, and we just want to respond to you tonight, Lord, and we just want to respond, and we want to be used, and we're gonna see these things. And I know you gave me a godly imagination for this church, like it's that happens to be on the front of my my journal that I made this year, but it's of a container full of butterflies, and that's what I see, and that's what I declare, that we will be free flying believers, beautiful, different colors, and Lord, you're gonna take the lid off them, so they're not in that container, Lord, but they're free, Father, just flying around and lighting on people, Lord, to display the beauty of the Lord to them. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, God, that you're helping us when we don't know what we're doing, Lord. You're right there and you're helping us and you're provoking us and you're calling us into you more and more and more. And I just bless each one in this place tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, you just don't know how accurate what you said just was, but the Lord was giving me a challenge for all this weekend. I'm driving down the road and he's speaking to me. Now, what she preached was wonderful. We can go out of here and we can think that was wonderful and go out of here and not do anything with it. And that's just wasting. She wasted her time if that's what happens. But what the Lord has shown me is that faith is an action word. And what you're talking about, the godly imaginations, he was showing me, because he talked about that same thing about the priest stepping in the water. Just about everything Jesus did that was requiring faith, he asked people to make an action, to take an action step. One thing God told me was, we're not supposed to wait for Stacy and Casey to tell us to do something. We're not supposed to wait for Claire to tell us to do something. The Lord's going to show us things. He's going to use our minds. Are we going to step out in faith in the grocery store if God whispers to you, if he shows you praying for somebody in the aisle next to you? Are you going to step out in faith? Are you going to take a big step and do the action? And yes, you're going to have to fight fear, but what she said, I hate fear. We're called to hate fear. We're called to die to the fear of man, and we're called to have the holy fear of a loving God, where we respect what he says and his opinion more than we worry about everybody else looking at. I mean, what they think does not matter. God's expecting us to put some faith and some feet to what he's calling us to do. So what she said was absolutely right. Now, what are we going to do with it? That's what Jesus is asking us. What are we going to do with what he's telling us? Are we going to, because we want revival. We want to see the dead raised. We want to see people healed. We want to see people set free. We want to see people saved. You know, I really and honestly believe God's waiting on us. Let's not make him wait anymore. Like Claire preached, those godly imaginations, if you get a picture in your head, don't dismiss it. Don't dismiss it. taken action. Even, you know what, the worst thing you can do is, hey, you try to obey God. And, you know, if you fall flat on your face, it's okay. It's okay. Jesus will be pleased that you took a step. But please, do not waste what the Lord spoke to us through my sister tonight.
Amen.
We're called to something great. We have a great God living in us. Now let's do what he's called us to do. Let's, as he's told Joshua in the Bible, be strong and courageous. And that's his call to us.